Welcome back. Who's Talking? Final half hour of our special two-hour show. Moore's Volvo, 7211 West Broad Street. Still time to come on out. We have some nice prizes, including UVA football tickets for the North Carolina game. We got food here. Got a chance to take a look at and take a test drive if you want with one of these beautiful Volvos, and they really are
sweet,
gorgeous cars. So and perform well, safe as we've gone through this whole thing. So at any rate, and we do thank Kevin Coffey, Mike Mullins, and Mark Newland, who have already been with us here this morning.
I think Mark is actually still in the studio here, or in the dealership right here, and. I know we're waiting on Dr. Call to arrive. I know he had a soccer game this morning, being a good dad. So let's talk about the upcoming schedule, Javo. We've got Virginia's got a bye weekend this weekend, but next weekend, November the 3rd, they're in action at NC State down in Raleigh. Then the week thereafter, they're playing Miami in Charlottesville in a big game. We don't know the time of that game yet. ACC has not released that yet. And then on November 15th, which is a Thursday night, UVA hosts North Carolina, which brings me to the fact that we have two pairs of tickets for the UVA-UNC game. These tickets are $50 each, so each envelope is worth $100, and we'll be drawing those tickets here shortly. So stop by Moore's Volvo at 7211 West Broad. And then UVA closes out the season against Virginia Tech in Blacksburg on November 24th.
And that is that. I'm trying to think. Is that the Saturday before Thanksgiving or
yes,
after Saturday
yes.
before?
Right.
Well, big game down in Blacksburg. You know, I guess both Virginia Tech and Virginia have had slightly disappointing seasons thus far, but I'm sure they're both anxious to rectify that in the games remaining. But that game down in Raleigh, of course, North Carolina State, big game today against North Carolina. So they'll be. Who knows? Maybe they'll have a little letdown after the Carolina game as Virginia comes to town.
You know, it's interesting. When I was looking at the schedule this summer and trying to do a little prognosticating, I felt like the must-win games for Virginia were University of Richmond, Duke, Louisiana Tech, Maryland, and Wake. As it stands right now, Virginia's only won one of those games, and they're not going to get to play any of those teams again. And now the big games, or the pivotal games, as Javo likes to say, I put down Penn State, which Virginia did win by 1 point, Georgia Tech, TCU, NC State, Miami, Carolina, and Virginia Tech.
Well, being honest and realistic, this middle part of the season, I think everybody hoped that the Cavs would win their first two games, which they did. I think everybody knew that going on the road at Georgia Tech and TCU were going to be difficult, that if you got a win out of either one of those games, it would be a bonus. And the part of the schedule that Virginia really had to make hay in is the immediate past four games, you know, Louisiana Tech, Duke, Maryland, and Wake. And the hope was that those were four games Virginia could win. I think Dr. Call is coming into the dealership now, but those were four games I think most fans were hoping that Virginia could win. And ideally, we'd be 6-2 right now rather than 2-6. So that's a lot, big part of the disappointment.
All right.
But at any rate, NC State coming up. Dr. Call here, I guess, back from a soccer game.
Cross country.
Okay. Yeah, we had the sport wrong. Father, out there supporting the kids. We're talking a little bit, obviously, about the Virginia football schedule, the results to date, and what's coming up. You tell me. What can the coaches and the team do at the moment to try to reverse the fortunes going forward?
Well, they got a big task ahead of them, of course. I mean, looking at the schedule, NC State, Miami, North Carolina, ending up with Virginia Tech. You know, one thing I've noticed looking at the games, as far as defense goes, you know, their defensive pass, you know, their pass defense, you know, they are covering people, but they're not breaking on the ball. That's what's kind of disappointing. We've got great athletes. We've got coverage going on pretty well, but they're not breaking on the ball and making the deflection, making the interception. So, and maybe that's just, you know, the youth that's back there.
Well, you're a defensive back. Explain to me and others what exactly you mean by that. Is that an instinct type thing, or is that something you teach kids?
It's probably something you get playing. You know, I remember when I was playing, you'd almost see the ball player, the receiver, out of the corner of your eye while you keep your eyes on the quarterback. So when he drops back, you know, he cocks the pass, that's when you get ready to break. And you're kind of watching that receiver out of the corner of your eye making his moves, And then when the quarterback gets ready to throw, you step in front and make the play.
Now, some of that film study, too? Do you watch
Absolutely,
films?
Absolutely. Because then you can pretty much, once you recognize a pattern or a, you know, what the offensive set up, then you've got only a few guesses as to what's going on. So, absolutely.
You know, the defensive backs Virginia has are all talented kids. Demetrius Nicholson was the Gatorade Player of the Year in high school, and he was the lone returning defensive back this year, hence some of the struggles. Anthony Harris, Lloyd C. Byrd product, is cutting his teeth at free safety. Brandon Phelps, who is a cornerback in high school, came down from Maryland. His parents were both Wahoo grads. Is learning the ropes at strong safety. And then Draquan Hoskey, who played nickel and dime package last year, earned the right and went out as a the other cornerback opposite of Demetrius Nicholson. The interesting thing is, watching them, I feel like they are fast. However, I feel like a lot of times they're running maybe parallel to the receiver as opposed to maintaining adhesion to them. Help us understand how that can happen.
Well, you know, one thing you want to do actually is make your receiver look open. So if you can play off them and make the jump on the ball, you make the quarterback look, think they're open, they pass the ball, you break in front. So really you don't want to be necessarily right step by step with them. You want to be behind them, ready to break in front of them.
Now, it seems like the defense has improved as the year's gone along. Now, of course, one thing that the secondary likes to see is a good pass rush, and I'm still not sure we exactly have the pass rush a lot of Virginia fans would like to see. But,
yeah,
you know, some of those early games against Georgia Tech, we were just getting burned with big plays seemingly all the time. But so it seems like Jim Reed and his group has done a little better in recent weeks.
Yeah, the best pass defense is a sack. There's no question about that. The other thing, you know, get the defensive front line to put their hands up. If you can't get in and sack the guy, at least get your hand up and block those passes. And then do something with that screen to the side. They got to figure that out.
You know, it's interesting. I think, you know, Jake Snyder was one of the returning players, another deep run player. His older brother, Matt, who was a walk-on and eventually earned a starting job at wide receiver, long since graduated. But Jake has been very steady. You couldn't call him sensational, but he's always holding his position and anchoring that side of the line, I feel. Brent Urban has had moments getting some push up the middle. Will Hill has been very solid, although in the last few weeks, Chris Braithwaite has shown a penchant for blasting up the middle and collapsing the pocket going right up the middle. Auzer Walcott has had some sensational games at filling in at at defensive end. Henry Coley and Greer and Reynolds are all steady linebackers, but there have been the breakdowns. There's been a few run plays here, a few passes there, and although I think in the last 3 weeks things have tightened up. I felt like now they had to, because Maryland and Wake are not the most dynamic.
I mean, their first year, their second year. I mean, it takes time to get that defense to gel. You talk about it on the offensive line for sure, because it's such a team game. But knowing where your partner's going to be, knowing who he's going to cover, I mean, that all takes time.
Now, did you play any special teams while you were there?
Absolutely. Oh yeah.
Well, tell us about the special teams. What's going on there?
You know, special teams is special. I mean, it takes a special group of guys to get that, you know, get that working. And here again, I think some of it's youth, you know, when to take the punt, when to let it go, you know, tripping on the turf. I mean, all that's youthful stuff. So it's a real team game. As long as you put the emphasis on special teams and play it smart, you should do well.
Tell me about the kickoffs. Frank's been irritated about that all year long, where it seems like other teams will kick the ball off to Virginia and our receivers are back there and they're like they got 1 or 2 feet in the end zone and they're trying to make a decision. Do I bring it out or not, or do I just take the ball to 25-yard line? Seems like the coaches have really put a lot of strategy into how you kick the ball off this year.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're trying to kick it to the goal line so you can get them pinned behind the 20. If you're in the end zone, take a knee. You get it at the 25.
All right, we're going to head to break here. We're going to come back on the other side with Dr. Call. And stay with us. We've got a whole other segment to go here and Who's Talking here at Moore's Volvo, 7211 West Broad Street. Come on out. Good food, good door prizes. Come on out.